We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Sweet life, sweet life, a sweet, 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 sweet life. Sweet life, sweet life, sweet pie. You've had a landscaper and a housekeeper since you were born.
I'm so glad to be here with you. Redemption Church, you are my favorite peeps. My favorite peeps, and you online people, y'all are my favorite digital peeps. Thank y'all also. I love you all. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm so blessed to be a part of Redemption Church. We're not a mega church, but we are a mighty church. We got that saying around here. We are mighty, not mega. All right? We're doing huge things for God. Sometimes people look around at a church and go, what are you doing? We are doing huge things for God. We are on several continents. We're doing things. Wherever there's a crisis, we are hooking up with the church to get the job done, to reach brand new people. It's very exciting around here. It's very exciting. Come join us. Be a part of it. What's the name of our sermon series? Anybody remember? It's Chasing Carrots. Many people are chasing something they will never catch. It is an endless pursuit. We are in the final week of our Chasing Carrots message series. We've talked about the carrots of, anybody know any of the carrots we name? Money. Money, that was good.
Approval.
Approval?
Fame.
All right. And last week, perfection, right? Approval, perfection, money, fame. Today, I want to talk about one more carrot. Before I introduce that carrot, I want to ask you, have you noticed that our culture is obsessed with the idea of your best life? Yeah. Have you ever seen that? Your best life. Are you living your best life? You know, I'm just going to go out and just live my best life. Have you seen that anywhere? Anyone seen that? Yeah. A lot of advertising hits on this obsession. There's actual medicine out there, right? It's doing stuff in your body, but the medicine, you know, it tells you, take this medicine so you can live your best life, right? And you got two people sitting in bathtubs looking at the ocean. What is that about? I don't even understand that. But they're living their best life, and you could too if you buy this medicine, right? Or how about this one? Buy this car, this very expensive car. You know they're expensive because they never tell you the price in those ads. What they do is they tell you, you deserve luxury because you need to live your best life. All right. And social media, you will actually find the hashtag best life. It's out there. It is out there. And it is always followed with cliche pics. What are some of those pics? Well, tanned legs at the beach facing the ocean. In fact, one of my favorite internet things of all time, it happened about 5 years ago. It was like for a few weeks there, they had all these quizzes online. And it was, are these legs facing the ocean or are they hot dog weenies facing the ocean? You should look that up. You just take it from your pastor. You look up those quizzes because my goodness, some of those, you can't even tell the difference. Hot dog legs, human legs. Best life, hashtag. All right. There are several books with the titles that you will find that are similar to this best life idea. Choose your best life. Find your best life. Live your best life. In fact, you probably know of the famous televangelist who wrote a hugely successful book entitled Your Best Life Now, right? Our culture is obsessed with the idea of best life. Look at somebody say best life. So with that in mind, we're going to talk about a carrot that we have all chased for most of our life, if we're honest. We're going to talk about the carrot of comfort. Look at somebody, say comfort. Y'all settle in, get comfortable. We're going to preach to you about comfort today. I do not like being uncomfortable. I just can't stand it. None of us can stand it, right? Oh, I hate it. I just like it's on my list of things not to do, be uncomfortable. Raise your hand if you don't like being uncomfortable, right? None of us. I mean, this is not a hard sell. How could there possibly be anything wrong then with chasing comfort? I mean, Chris, you got it all wrong here, right? Well, let's look. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, a little heavy verse. do some heavy lifting with me. Read this verse with me. Read it out loud. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. Stern words, right? John hits us with some heavy, uncomfortable words. He tells us not to love the world or the things in the world. What do you think that means? Well, before we explain what that means, let's explain what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean we shouldn't love people in the world. How can you say that? Well, very simply, Jesus tells us to love everyone. Love your neighbors, even love your enemies. Matthew 5:44, love your enemies. So it can't mean that you're supposed to hate every person in the world. That's not the point. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't enjoy the gifts that God has given, because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, comes from the Father above. James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't love things found in nature, right? Doesn't mean we should like hate manatees or other animals, geckos, can't stand bison. Oh, eagles, though, during football season, down with them. Down with them, brother. Down with those Philly Eagles. All right. It doesn't mean you shouldn't hate things, that you should hate things found in nature, because God created everything in nature, and guess what? It all testifies of His glory, right? Psalm 19 and 1, Romans 1 and 20. So those are things it doesn't mean. So what does it mean? The world. Everyone say the world. The Greek word here is the word cosmos. Everyone say cosmos. Cosmos. Cosmos means more than just the physical planet. Cosmos means arrangement. Say arrangement. Arrangement. It means order. Say order. It means government. Say government. It means system. Good job. With that context, John must be saying to love the cultural system and order of this world. We shouldn't love that. Do you follow that? Does that make sense to you, right? So he's not telling you to hate your dog or to hate mountains or anything like that, or your kids. Did someone say that? All right. It's that we should hate the arrangement, order, government, systems of this world. I'm not like going anarchist either with the government thing. Don't think I'm going there, right? All right. We have seen how the system of this world works, haven't we? And it's not so pretty, is it? We know what that pattern looks like. Power grabbing. People are just always grabbing for power. And guess what? The more power they have, the more corrupt they get. We've seen people march and get new power only to become as corrupt or more corrupt as the people they replace, right? Meet the new boss, same as the old boss, right? Who is that? Pink Floyd, anybody? Is that Pink Floyd? Did I get it right? What was it? The Who. Who? Sorry. Rock and roll jokes. Power grabbing and corruption. We've seen it. Lust and anger. We've seen it. The idea that you deserve the best things, so you do whatever it takes to have the best things. Real recently, we've heard about billionaire people with their own island doing unthinkable, unspeakable things to other people. It's absolutely gross. It's awful. That's the pattern of this world. How did they do that? How did they even get rich? Well, they got rich doing evil things. How did they stay rich? Doing evil things. That's exactly. How did they keep that a secret? Because they evil, because that's what they're doing. That's the pattern of this world. And it makes sense that we shouldn't be loyal to that system, that we shouldn't love that system. There's something very wrong with that system. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, if you won't amen me on that, I just don't even know where to go. Hidden within this cultural system is a sneaky little desire for comfort. We always talk about the power. We always talk about the wealth and the lying and all those evil acts. But behind it all, think about this, is a desire for comfort. Let me prove it to you. Do people grab power? Do people steal? And do people lie so that they can have a more uncomfortable life? Or do they do it so they can have a more comfortable life? Does that make sense, right? People will say, man, instead of working that 8-hour job, I will just go steal for several people that worked 8-hour jobs, cut out the middleman. That's what they're thinking, right? What is that for? So they can have a more comfortable life. People will do evil things just to be comfortable. Let me bring it to you this way. Think about the life you desire. Think about your daydream life, right? Does that life, is it marked by struggle or ease? When you daydream, do you think about just kicking back? Some of you have this, oh man, you have this fantasy world where you have a butler and a maid, and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have to do laundry. And y'all are just like fanning yourself right now because that is quite the fantasy. That is just, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. But you desire, your fantasy life, you desire more comfort. That no one desires, my goodness, I just imagine more dirty clothes in my house. Oh, that's it. That is the life I'm imagining. No one does that. Some people like it. Well, we'll pray for those people. My goodness. So people will do evil things to be comfortable, and your best life imagination is comfort. See, comfort is leading us and guiding us more than we know. We usually go the path of least resistance, right? What's easier, to get up earlier, to go to the gym before you go to work, or just to sleep in? I don't know about you, but the easiest energy I use in my life is that reach for the snooze button. That's the only energy. I never, like, to get up and go get dressed and go for a run, that's impossible. But I can find the energy anytime. In fact, I don't even know where that thing is, but my body has sensed, there's the snooze button. It's really good. I've got this gift down, anybody? If we're honest in this room, everyone watching online, we're really controlled by this quest for comfort. And if left unchecked, this desire leads us to a life that doesn't even need God. You hang with me here. That this life, if you had all the comfort that you needed, you wouldn't even need God. You see, you don't need God if there's no struggle. That's a lot of people. My goodness, one of the big frustrations in life, Tria, as a pastor, is you help people in their struggle, and in their struggle, they come to church. In their struggle, they pray. You help them out of the pit of their struggle, and you never see them again. If you are watching right now, and you're supposed to be here, I am definitely talking to you. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, you want to drive your pastor into an early grave, you do that. And let me tell you, lots are doing it. It's driving me crazy. If anybody came to your mind just now, do your pastor a favor, pray for them, and call them for your pastor, right?
Yes.
Okay, don't tell them that your pastor said terrible things about them. Tell them that your pastor misses them and would like to see them, because that's true also. All right. If left unchecked, the comfortable life leaves us drifting aimlessly. It's something we call laziness. Somebody say, we get lazy. Comfort makes you lazy. Is that true? Oh, it's absolutely true. For you that are married, let me ask you if you remember dating you. Do you remember the you that was dating? You married folk. Anybody remember what that was like? Gentlemen, when you were dating, you were actively trying to win the heart of your girl, and you knew that she was too good for you, and you were working really hard on it. You planned out dates to make it special. Say amen if it's true.
Amen.
Dudes, you actually cleaned your home. You know the part of your toilet that every once in a while you look down there and it's close to the floor and you're like, oh my goodness, what is that? You actually got down and you cleaned that. Ladies, if your dude will not clean that for you when they're dating, my goodness, I just don't know what to say. No, you made that effort. You cleaned, you even wore clean clothes to be with these people, right? Some of you wrote poems and songs. Some of you went to a place called a florist, and they do things called flowers, and you bought flowers and you sent it to your loved one. Why? Because you love them, not for a special reason. You really love the idea. I'm going to send something for no reason at all. You remember that? That was some hard work, right? You did that. You always answered her call. You always called her. That was dating you. How is dating you compared to married you? Have you gotten lazy? All right, we'll move on, dudes. We love you very much. These altars are open later, and you just come right on up. Ladies, all right, I love you, ladies. I love you. I'm going to be really extra nice to you. I promise I was harder on the guys than I am on you. Do you think about dating you, though? Think about it. You thought meticulously about what you would wear. You thought about it. You planned it out, right? You went on Pinterest. Like, you had a whole game plan on how you are going to look. And now, they've got sweatpants you wear around the house, and then they've got sweatpants you wear outside. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. You shaved your legs. In fact, you would never think about going out without shaving your legs. We'll just move on very quickly, all right? You hit fitness things like Zumba, like Taibo, like Pilates multiple times a week. And when you went out to eat, you ate a little side salad with your water because you were that intense on how you looked and on everything. You made mixtapes. Some of you made mixtapes or CD mixes for your husband or your who you wanted to be your husband. And you were like, and you really thought about it. And it's like, when he's listening to this mixtape, I just want him to know that that's how I feel about him, right? You were never tempted to social media surf on your date. You were like right there, just like, he's going to get lost. He's going to fall into these eyes the way I'm looking at him. That was dating you. How's married you? How is that? Are you, perhaps, I won't say it, I'll let you think about that. I just almost backed up over this stage here. Girls, you make me nervous. Y'all just stay my friends, all right? Stay my friends, all right? That was dating you. What about married you? You see, we get comfortable. And we get a little lazy. I want to challenge every married couple, don't be lazy with your spouse. Your partner deserves the very best. Y'all deserve the best. Give each other the best. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. That was for you, okay? You just take that to heart, okay? Now back to this sermon, all right? So comfort makes you lazy. We're told not to love the pattern and system of this world. This is a pattern that seeks for ease only to become flat out lazy. So we're chasing a counterfeit. I want to give this idea to you today. What we're chasing really isn't easy. And it really isn't stress-free. And it is a counterfeit comfort. Everyone say chasing counterfeit comfort. Counterfeit, you know what something is counterfeit? It's designed to be a close copy, like a counterfeit dollar bill. It looks like the real thing, but the counterfeit holds how much value?
Zero.
None. The original, the actual, truthful item, that is what holds value. Do you agree with this? You understand what I'm saying? That there is a comfort in your life that's counterfeit. It has no value in it. Could it be that we're chasing something counterfeit, having no value instead of finding the true valuable thing that we desire? I want to give you three things that chasing counterfeit comfort will do very quickly. Here they are. Number one, it reveals spiritual emptiness. Reveals spiritual emptiness. When you're chasing something external, it reveals to you that you're lacking something internal. Do you understand this? Yeah, if you're chasing after something out here, it's because you don't have it right here. And that is what this counterfeit thing does. The first thing it needs to reveal is that you're lacking spiritual life inside. You're empty on the inside. We often overeat. We chase food when we're lacking something inside. And it's not hunger usually. It's something emotional. It's something like the way we look at each other, the way we look at ourselves and the stress of the situation. People chase an extramarital affair when they're lacking something internal. It's true, absolutely. Maybe Maybe you don't need that new phone that you're obsessing over. Maybe your constant want of that new thing is revealing a lack that you have on the inside. Maybe your desires for likes and follows on social media is revealing that you are lacking something internal. It reveals that you're lacking something inside, chasing this counterfeit comfort. It reveals spiritual emptiness. Nothing external can satisfy you when you are spiritually empty within. You listen to that. Nothing external can satisfy you when you're spiritually empty within. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. One more time. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. We need the love of the Father within us. Can I tell you that is the only thing that will actually satisfy? Nothing out in the world is going to satisfy. Don't love anything there, because the love of the Father, the love of the Creator, the love of all loves, the agape love, that perfect love, the love that sent His only Son into the world, that's the only love that is going to satisfy. Think about the love of God. Think about the love revealed on the cross as Jesus died for the lost. He died for the hurting. He died for the poor. He died for the weak. He died for the confused. He died for the Jew. He died for the Gentile. He died for the Christian. He died for the atheist. He died for the man who has a lot but doesn't understand that he's really lacking the most important things. He died for the hypocrite. He died for every one of us. Think about that love. That's the love that we need. And that love is not counterfeit. That love is not fake. That love is the real deal. Someone say it's the real deal.
It's the real deal.
That is the love we need. We need that love on the inside of us. We need it working. We need it to come out when we speak. We need that love to show up when we think. We need that love to be in how we spend our money and how we spend our time. That love needs to show up in every area of our life. If that love is on the inside of us, it changes us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. The love of Jesus does what? It compels us. It moves us. It gets us to move in. That's what it does. The love of Jesus causes us to no longer live for our own selves, but for Him who died and was raised again. Why do you live for Jesus? The love of Jesus is why I live for Jesus. In fact, you think it's because you love Jesus that you do it. No, it's because Jesus loves you. It compels you to do it. Don't worship Jesus because you love Jesus. Worship Jesus because He loves you, and it changes everything. Do you understand that? You need that love, because when that love is hitting you, when that love is on the inside, it moves you. We need some more compulsion of the love of Jesus within the Christian church, don't we? Oh, yes, we do. Some of you are missing the compulsion of Christ to do big things in God's kingdom, to do big things for other people. Could it be that you are spiritually empty? That you don't have that love working on the inside? Because if that love were on the inside, it'd be compelling you. Maybe you have something inside, but it's counterfeit. Can I tell you, religion is counterfeit, y'all? Religion is counterfeit. Oh, absolutely. Dressing up all nice on Sunday so people think you got your act together, carrying the biggest Bible you got and walking into church. Ha! That's counterfeit. Somebody say amen, because it's true. I've seen it all my life. I've seen it walk in the church, and I've seen them, God bless you, in the parking lot afterwards because you pulled out in front of them right after church. No, I've seen it. I was like, I'm sorry, Pastor. I pulled out in front of you. And just sorry for anybody on 75 that cut me off earlier today. No, we got something counterfeit inside of us. What's not counterfeit? Well, that's a short list. That's a short list of things that aren't counterfeit. But the love of Jesus is the real deal. And we need it in us, and we need it working and compelling us. Maybe God has dealt with you about helping others. Maybe that's you today. Maybe he's dealt with you about giving your time, donating some money, giving your money, volunteering, or simply stopping to help someone broke down on the side of the road. Some of you drove past the guy and you found yourself actually say out loud, I should have stopped. I should have stopped. What is that? What is that? That's a compulsion. That is something inside of you trying to compel you to do something. Trying to compel. Why is it that you have this dream to serve others? What is that all about? Let me tell you, there's nothing like that in nature. You do not see the lions get together and say, you know what? Those antelope really need our help. Let's pull together. No, there is this compulsion inside of you telling you to go care about people that you will never meet on the other side of the world. That's the compulsion of God, and it's not counterfeit, it's real. And that's the device, that's the mechanism, if we get a hold of it, that could change the world. It could change the world. That right there. Christ's love compels us. But maybe we're too busy chasing something counterfeit. Too busy living for ourselves. Chasing a counterfeit comfort reveals spiritual emptiness, and it eliminates our need for faith. Everyone say faith.
Faith.
Hebrews 11 is called the what chapter?
Faith.
The faith chapter. What is it? Hebrews
11.
11. Say those words out. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. If you want to know the faith chapter, it's Hebrews 11. Everybody needs to read that chapter. It's a great chapter. Nothing in that chapter was done comfortably. It was all done by faith. Here's some of it. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken to be with God. By faith, Noah was convinced about a flood, even though he had never witnessed such a thing. By faith, he built that ark and saved himself and his whole family. By faith, Abraham left his home to occupy a promised land. By faith, Sarah believed that she would have a child in old age. By faith, Joseph, on his deathbed, spoke of the exodus of Israel from Egyptian slavery. By faith, Moses, with a speech impediment, was used by God to face down Pharaoh and deliver Israel. What of that is easy? None of that was easy. None of that was comfortable. None of that was without struggle. Every bit of it was the most uncomfortable thing, but every bit of it was by faith. You see, if you are living a comfortable life, it eliminates your need for faith. People always run into this issue. It's like, Pastor, why is everything hard all of a sudden? I must be all wrong with God. God must not love me anymore because things are wrong. No, now you're about to operate in faith, and you're about to see that he's a true and faithful Father who won't leave you when times are rough.
Amen.
You see, faith doesn't really shine when everything's easy. Faith isn't when you're rolling in the money. That's not the time your faith shines. When you don't know what you're going to do, when everybody has left you and turned their back on you, when people are attacking you, talking bad about you, when you can't fix the problem yourself, that's when something stands up inside of you, and it is faith. You got to have faith. You got to have it. Some of you are desiring comfort. But I've come to tell you that you have something you really need to stand on already, and it's your faith. In our discomfort, we're just dreaming for the day we can be past it. That's me, right? Recently, we're working on our condo. It's like I was dreaming of the day. Oh, we'd be past this discomfort, this awful thing, right? Listen. You'll get past it one day, but that shouldn't be where your eyes are on. Your eyes should be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. What do you stand on? Your bank account, right? What do you stand on? The ebb and flow of the economy, man. Oh, man. What do you stand on? Well, I'm just making sure China and Russia are still not shooting nukes at us. I want to tell you all the worst things can happen, but on Christ the solid rock I stand. I'm telling you, even when you get a report from the doctor that you don't like, on Christ the solid rock I stand. In the midnight hour when you get that phone call you never wanted to get, on Christ the solid rock I stand. No other ground. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You got to get that in your heart. Christ is that solid rock. And your faith in Him is what you need. Your faith. You don't just need to make it another day. You need to stand on Jesus Christ today. You might not even make it to tomorrow. But today, I'm standing on Jesus.
All right. Amen.
Hebrews. Y'all can clap for Jesus. Clap for Him. And now, if you're going to clap for Him, really clap for Him. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith it is
impossible
to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible. If you're in a situation right now that you just feel like it's impossible, I want to tell you, without faith, it is. Without faith, it absolutely is impossible. You can't ever get it done chasing down something counterfeit, something fake. That's not going to get it done. But you can do all things through Christ who gives you the ability, who gives you the strength and the power. Chasing a counterfeit comfort reveals spiritual emptiness and it eliminates our need for faith. And here's the third thing. It makes you a fraud. Somebody say fraud. The people in that Instagram picture that look like they're living their best life, they aren't. They are not. They're hot dog legs. That's right. They just don't even know. But listen, they're under such stress and so much pressure. Sometimes they're under just the pressure to live up to this impossible image that they put up. But it's all a mirage. It's counterfeit. And it's not valuable. It's faking the true value. That's what a counterfeit does. And we are always surprised when a wealthy, handsome, powerful movie star commits suicide, aren't we? We are always blown away. I remember Junior Seau committing suicide. You remember football player, unbelievable football talent, commit suicide. Hall of Famer commit suicide. Robin Williams committed suicide. How in the world did that happen? That dude was so talented. That dude looked so happy. How in the world did any of this happen? I want to tell you, no one living their best life would ever commit suicide, right? If at the end of the day they found it was counterfeit and had no value, they would need something to keep them from committing suicide. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? The chasing of counterfeit comfort will never bring you the real thing. So you have to fake it. You fake it till you make it, but you never end up making it. We aren't living a life of ease in the world, in the real world. So we'll just put on, you know, a face, a good face for it. When people ask how we're doing, we'll say, you know, everything's going great, even though it absolutely isn't. And we never post anything on social media that doesn't put a happy face on an unhappy life. This happens all the time. The pursuit of the counterfeit makes us what? Makes us a fraud. Makes us a liar. It makes us a part of the system that we're not supposed to love. We are actually getting people to go the wrong way by stepping into this system and saying, oh, this is perfectly fine. This is actually great. This is great. It's absolutely good. The house is burning down around us, but no, this is absolutely fine, and I'm so happy to be here. No. That's a part of this system. You're not supposed to be a part of that system. You're supposed to do anything but be a part of that system.
Right.
I'm so for the people that are real and just say, listen, my life's falling apart. I need somebody to talk to. listen, I've tried everything. Can somebody help? I'm for that person. That person is really close to finding the help of God. The person that's faking it and going down and actually, they're on the picket line, the protest line with the world, going the wrong direction. Don't be that person. Decide today, no more counterfeit, no more fraud. I'm going to be real. Y'all with me today? That's the plan of the world. It's the culture of our age. Do not love the fraud. Should you love lies? Should you love lies? No, you absolutely shouldn't. The Bible says that love rejoices in the truth. You should love the truth. You should love it when the truth gets out. That's true. That's true. You should be that way. Instead, we should embrace the authentic. We should embrace what's true. We should embrace what's real. Somebody say embrace the authentic. We need to get real. Life is not always easy. Jesus himself told us that. We're not always going to be comfortable. The counterfeit comfort is not always attainable, and it is never sustainable. When our paradigm is off and our expectations are misplaced, we have to realize that the love of the system of this world is leading us down a destructive, a dangerous path. We have to align our expectations, align our life with what? With truth. With what is true, and where do we find truth? You actually have a book of truth. It is called the Word of God. His Word is truth. Yes. Truth like you reap what you sow. Sometimes that's great and sometimes that's bad. I remember somebody came to a pastor once, no names here, but they were a drug addict. And they came to church and they got their life all straight and they were living for God. It's so good. But then they went to the pastor and they complained, other people in the church have more than me. Those people over there have more money than I do. And the pastor just looked at them and said, what are you talking about? Those people have been working for God. They've been tithing in this church for 10 years. They have been sowing and sowing and sowing righteously, and now they're reaping. You just walked in the door and you have sown a lot of bad things. You ought to be thankful for the grace of God and start sowing some good things, and the same God who's blessed him is going to bless you. Stop complaining. Is that pretty good? Is that all right? Man, that was good. I was not that drug addict. I was kidding. It rains on the just and the unjust. You talk about a truth. That's in the scripture right there. That the same rain falls on just people and unjust people. So guess what? Discomfort comes to everyone. And just because rain has fallen on your parade doesn't mean that you are unrighteous and out of the will of God. This is truth in the Bible. And you've got to live your life, align it according to this truth. We could go on. There's so much truth in that Bible. As we align our lives with God's truth, we'll begin to discover an authentic comfort. We will learn an authentic comfort. There's a comfort that is solely dependent on God and not on anything external found in this world. There's a comfort that you can find in God. You can be comfortable even when you're facing a giant. David showed us that when he faced Goliath, right? And you can be comfortable even the worst kind of storm, because who was asleep in the belly of that boat? Jesus. He was comfortable, y'all. No one else was, but he was perfectly comfortable. You can experience a comfort that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me, because God is with you. It says your rod and your staff, they comfort me. No, real quick, do you understand what a rod and a staff does? It does a lot of things. Sometimes that rod and staff hits a wolf that's trying to come after you. But sometimes that rod and the staff, you've seen those shepherd's crooks, right? With the book hook on it. What do you think that hook is for? Sometimes, I don't know what kind of lamb I am. I'm a special lamb. I'm God's special little lamb today, aren't I? I'm having too much fun, internet. All right. I'm just going to come over here and just, man, like I'm going the wrong way. I'm going towards danger. What does that shepherd do? He takes that same rod that he uses to bash the head of that enemy. And sometimes He puts a little discomfort in that lamb, and he puts that hook around its neck, and it just drags it back over here and just drags that lamb back to where it should be. And guess what? It's not comfort. But the psalmist says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I don't know what it is, but there have been times in my life where God has made me so uncomfortable only for it to be the best thing that ever happened to me. When God convicts me of my sin, it is the best thing that ever happened to me. When God stands in my way and says, do not go down this path. There is danger and destruction down this path. And I'm like, well, I wanted to go down that way. I've never gone the wrong way when I go God's right way. And it's always been what's best for me. His rod and staff, they comfort me. You, God, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God just sets you up right there. He's going to feed you right in front of your enemies. Your enemies are like, I wish I had some of that pudding. And you're like, it's God's pudding and he gave it to me. You, God, I will dwell in your house forever. See, that's authentic comfort. And that's comfort the world can't understand. Because the world never wants to sit at the table of the enemy. The world never wants the hook around their neck. The world never wants to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But what I'm telling you is that there is a supernatural, authentic peace and comfort of God that you can receive. You need to receive it today. I'm going to tell you today that you might walk out of here with every problem you walked in with, but you could walk out with the grace and the comfort and the peace of God. And that is enough. Amen. Whew. I want to tell you, these aren't just empty words. This is real. You can build your life on this. This kind of comfort does not wilt under the pressure of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Is that what it says? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Are you following this? For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. You get a load of this, because there is nothing like this anywhere in the world. When you get a load of this, you won't love the things in this world. You want authentic comfort? We serve the God of all comfort. There is not a situation that he can't bring comfort to. God is the source of all comfort. You will not find the comfort you want in the bottle, in the pill, or at the all-you-can-eat buffet, preaching to myself, but or in another person. You will find the comfort that you seek in the God of all comfort. And he comforts you in all your troubles. Can I tell you, you don't have a trouble he can't comfort. Amen. Some of you need to, you haven't come to that realization yet. You have a certain things he can comfort you with, but you have not allowed him to comfort you in other areas. You listen to me. It's absolutely on you, because he's the God of all comfort, and he will comfort you in all your troubles. Why? So you can be comforted. Nope. So that you can comfort others with the same comfort you receive from him. Is that what it says? Yet, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive. Do you understand that God wants to comfort you, and he doesn't want it just to stop with you? God has done powerful things in you, and it's so awesome, but it stopped with you. God has saved you, but it stopped with you. Prove it that it hasn't stopped with you. Share your faith. Bring someone to church with you. Teach a Bible study. Because if you aren't doing that, no, it has stopped with you. You're looking and seeing uncomfortable people all over the place, and you've let the comfort that you've received being saved in Jesus Christ stop with you. Shame on us. Shame on us. That should not be. God has given you comfort so that you can comfort others with the same comfort you have received. You see, comfort actually, you see, the comfort that comes from God, it's real. It's not a counterfeit carrot chase. It's the real deal. And only in Christ, see, this is can't be duplicated. Only in Christ, that last verse, look at it. Only in Christ can your suffering be abundant, yet your comfort abound. In Christ, it doesn't mean you're suffering free. But even when you suffer, you have a comfort that abounds. It's more, it's greater. It's of more abundance. It's of a super abundance. God ha- and that's only natural with the God of all comfort. You understand? You follow me? I'm drawn to a close. I'm praying that you today will receive the authentic comfort that comes from God. But first, I want to challenge you with something kind of strange on a sermon about comfort. I want you to embrace divine discomfort. Somebody say divine discomfort. There are times when God calls you absolutely directly into divine discomfort. There are times He leads you right through the storm. He knows the storm's there. He leads you right through it. There are times God draws you into a war zone. There are times the Spirit drives you into the wilderness where you will face the devil face to face. Should we face these moments with dread and fear? Nope. James chapter 1, 2, verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. There is a divine discomfort that produces the best in you. There is a discomfort that you would never want, but God is going to use it to produce great things in you. Does comfort produce the best in us? Comfort. Does comfort produce the best in us? Does comfort produce six-pack abs? Man, the other day, guys, y'all don't understand. There's this machine that you put, it's like a little belt, and for $39.95, four easy payments, right? You put it on your belly and you can just watch Netflix and it will give you six-pack abs. Did you buy one of those? Sister, we'll pray for you. These altars will be open. Does comfort give you big muscles, growing biceps? Not at all, it doesn't. No, discomfort is what produces muscles. Comfort actually produces bad health. Bad health. It produces diabetes, right? It produces bad things in us. Does comfort produce good grades in school and a promotion on the job? No, not at all. No, discomfort actually produces those things. Comfort produces the opposite of those things. There is a divine comfort and there is a divine discomfort that actually will bring out, it will produce the best in you. The most amazing moments are when God steps into my pain and produces what is impossible. So I want you today to think about that divine discomfort and I want you to embrace it. Maybe right now you are in an uncomfortable situation, but maybe God wants to use it in a certain way. Instead of trying to run out of the discomfort, why don't you surrender to God in the discomfort and watch what He does in that moment? Are you with me? Amen. Last, I'll say this. This is not your best life yet. This is not meant to be your best life right here. Quit chasing the pattern of this world. Quit faking it. Embrace this moment. Embrace being authentic. Embrace faith. Embrace what only God can do. Because your best life is going to be in a place called heaven. What heaven is going to blow away the best right here and right now has to offer. We need to stop being frauds. We need to understand that the best comes from God. It doesn't come from what anyone else thinks about us. It doesn't think about whatever what we have in the bank account, none of that at all. Some of you in this room, you're deeply troubled, and I'm so glad you came to church today. You're going through a terrible struggle. The God of all comfort's here for you today, and I want you to come receive his comfort today in this altar. If I'm speaking to you, I want you in these first 2 feet. We're going to pray with you. God is going to give you the comfort. Allow him to bring out the best in you. And then last, some of you in this room, you're way too comfortable. Some of you in this room, you're not at all worried about your finances. You're not at all worried about things in your life. I want to tell you, God might be calling you to get out of that comfort and to get into some divine discomfort. He maybe wants to call you to comfort others. You want to get in uncomfortable situations? You get in other people's discomfort and start serving them and start loving them and start praying for them. God wants you to serve others. So get off your couch and go serve them. Will you follow him in discomfort today? These altars right now are open. Come on, church. Let's come. Come right now. Come right now. In Jesus' name, I pray for everyone watching, listening online. I pray for everyone in the room right now. God, Lord, get a hold of our hearts. God, Lord, keep us from chasing falsehood. Keep us from chasing, God, the pattern of this world, God. And Lord, let us lead a life that is worthy of the gospel, God. Lord, help us to find that comfort in you today. And then, Lord, help us to turn around and give that comfort to others. Help us to minister to others. Lord, I pray for people in this room today in their struggle, God. Lord, that you would meet their needs, God. That you do powerful things in their life, God. Lord, that you'd turn them around. That you would answer the problem, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for comfortable people in this house, God. They are loved by you, Lord, and you've got powerful things for them to do that are greater than anything they've ever experienced. Lord, help them to walk into it, God. Help them to serve, God. Help them to serve in their church. Help them to serve in their community. Help them, God, Lord, to do great and powerful things that make you so happy. Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't leave this moment right now without talking to him. Don't leave this moment without surrendering to God in Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's talk to God as they're singing. Let's reach out to him in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.